Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Ernest Hancock sitting in from Declare Your Independence. In my opinion, one of the most talented broadcasters in the world.
Oh, go on.
Hey, I agree. I'm constantly telling people about your show as he comes on at 9 o'clock in the morning and just listen to him.
It's 9 o'clock here.
Nine o'clock here.
My butt's up at 6, man.
That's where I'm telling people here.
gotta have some reason to get up in the world, right? And yours is to make the world a little freer.
You know, the thing is that I like being early because then my day's over at 9. Hell, I don't even get up before 9 or 10 if I didn't have the show.
Right.
So you know, I'm like, woohoo! I got something done.
Right, indeed. And that's what's great about it. Where would people tune in to Declare Your Independence?
Freedomsphoenix.com. Freedom with an S. Freedom with an S. Phoenix.com. Man, you knew I had to do that, man. You know, you go to freedomsphoenix.com in the top right. It has a show there. And you can listen live on LRN. You just click it and it goes live.
LRN.FM.
LRN.FM. And then we also, you know, like broadcast and other stuff. We have the streaming and, you know, the video live and in studio. The streaming, you know, it's good to have that because you get during the commercials when I talk to them and they, you know, put their pants down and say all the crap they think I'm, you know, they don't think they're on air, even though Donna tells them every time. So it gets all the goody, you know. When I was doing radio, the big challenge was always, but the car dealerships and the appliance stores and the real estate developers are not really sure we want ours. We like them, and so we love you. We want you to know we love you.
Yeah.
But we can't be on your, you know, commercial advertising, supporting, sponsoring. Sure. They don't like it because there's always somebody trolling, calling, doing. They don't call you. They don't call the station and say, we hate Free Talk Live. They're too freedom.
Well, certainly people, listeners do, because Free Talk Live's, there's not a lot of libertarian radio stations out there. So there's, we end up on Democrat and Republican radio stations. And when the Democrats and the Republicans, you know, hear some of the things we say, sometimes they're shocked, you know, one side or the other. Usually it's, we're messing with somebody at any given point. Any opinion we have is upsetting to one side or the other. And the reason that we end up on both these stations is because we're less distasteful than the other guys. So if it's Democrats don't want to have Republicans on their stations, and Republicans don't have Democrats on their stations, so they take us. And we're on in the evening, which means that, you know, they're less concerned. Yeah, they're less concerned with what's going on as far as the topics and things like that. So we get away with a lot. I think.
If I was willing to do a nighttime show, I would be able to get a lot more shows.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren is being fundamentally dishonest about Medicare for all. Not just vague, not evasive, not just dodgy, dishonest. At last night's Democratic primary debate, Warren repeatedly refused to admit something that is obviously true, that Medicare for all, the single-payer health care plan envisioned by Senator Bernie Sanders, that Warren says she supports, would require higher taxes on most Americans, including the middle class. Does anybody doubt that for a second?
Well, all new government things are just bring up more taxation and just more theft and more taxation. And, you know, it's just one of the things I do disagree with Tulsi on is this, you know, Medicare, single payer kind of things that, you know, she dances around a little bit with. Now, as commander in chief, she really don't have any, first off, authority to have anything to do with that, you know, according to the Constitution anyways. And she does talk a lot about the Constitution. And, you know, if the commander in chief, the president could, you know, shove this, you know, single payer health care down our throats or Medicare for all, I'm sure Obama would have done it.
Yep.
And, you know, the thing is when it comes to health care, well, you know, there's just a lot of issues that just need to be cleared up, like stop with the regulation.
Well, it needs to be clear who's going to pay for it. We know that it's true because the plan would, according to multiple independent estimates, as well as Sanders himself, cost somewhere in the range of $30 to $40 trillion over a decade. A new estimate of the type of plan that Warren and Sanders supports puts the cost at just a hair over $34 trillion. That's 30 or 40 trillion in new government spending on top of the federal spending that would have otherwise occurred.
That's easy to do when the set rate for one aspirin is $100. The United States government is the number one, the largest buyer of health care, right? The largest spender on pharmaceuticals. But when the government pays the hospital or whoever $100 for an aspirin, for example, it is just because the government is always, it's always pork involved. People, you know, like Tulsi was saying at one of her town hall things, that she's like, yeah, the United States government spends more on pharmaceuticals than any other single organization in the world, and they pay the highest premium. Usually the guy that's the biggest consumer gets the best deal.
Okay, why?
Because they can. Because they're Amen, unaccountable.
Bro. You know, see, my
because
thing is
taxation.
Why do I get a daily dispatch twice a day?
Because there's too much stuff,
yeah,
man.
Okay. I just wondered if it was just me. Like, I was on the special day, double dailies to the semi-daily
dispatch. You know, we used to do it every, you know, like in the morning. We had it where it was set to go out at 1 a.m. And that meant, you know, with the 3 hours, you know, when we were Pacific time. Sometimes we're Pacific, sometimes we're Mountain, because Arizona doesn't change. Greenwich Mean Time minus 7, get over it. So when we set it at 1, that means that the... when we started Famous Phoenix back in 05, having been in radio, I could see what was happening in the radio. You'd be in the studio and you would get your 3x5 card, you know, almost literally, but you'd get it on a fax that would come from, you know, the, you know, RNC or Rush Limbaugh Says or New York Times, whatever the heck it is, what, you know, you're supposed to talk about today kind of crap. And I'm going, this is rip and read radio.
Yeah. Talking
what the
points,
hell
man.
Is this? I go, oh, hell no. This is what I want to talk about. So when we really started doing Freedom's Phoenix, probably a couple of years before I left radio stations and producing, and I was, you know, on Air America, you know, give me a break. But I was their token libertarian and producing for Charles Goyette, another talk show host. And what happened was... I could see how it worked. These guys, they were just going to Freedom's Phoenix for the content. So what we did is we said, if we can do it by 1 a.m., then they get it by 4 or 5 for show prep for the morning show.
I see.
It's all quality stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Even the fluff is quality.
My problem when I start reading it is I just, oh man, I want to read this. I want to read all the articles. It just ain't enough time in a day.
Okay, but there's a solution for that. It's been there forever. It's called the custom module. We're going to make a big deal out of this. When you log in, there's ability, you go through and it says save link. And you go, save link, save, I want to read this, or read this, read this, read this. And it puts onto your own favorites page, and it just, you go to your own page, and it's there. All the stuff, when you got time a week, two later, to go through it, you get done, you hit delete, 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 it goes, you don't miss anything.
That's
I do
cool.
that all the time.
I've been,
sucks that you can't do it.
I've been keeping up on the electric pickup trucks that are coming out, which I think is pretty awesome.
And very.
I've read about all of it through your website.
I figure that electric pickup trucks must be able to work. I mean, you obviously have to have more power for a pickup truck. But, I mean, those cars that they're making are ridiculously fast. You have to have power to do that, too. I mean, my little Prius that we've got is a plug-in Prius. And it gets to like 11 miles before you have to kick things on. And if you do go up a hill or something, then the motor kicks on. The little hamsters start running. And so, I mean, there's not much there. But apparently, they've got pretty powerful electric engines.
Okay. This, you guys want to get all, you know, pimped out. You go to freedomsphoenix.com. On the left side, you'll see a bunch of stories on the left bar. And it says top tech news. You click on that. It's just technology.
So I'm a healthcare provider. And I want to start off by saying that I have yet to get my money from Big Pharma. So if anyone knows how I can do that, I would appreciate them sharing that information because I could use it.
Same here. Like, I want to know, aren't the Bilderbergers supposed to be writing me a check because I'm the media?
I could tell you how to get Big Pharma money.
Yeah, me too.
Just shill for them. I sell Lady Hay, and her job, she's a sexy, good-looking blonde, and her job is to go in there and just shill pharmaceuticals, and that's what she does. She
yeah, pharmaceutical sales.
Yep, that's yeah, what she does.
That is a way. Unfortunately, I prefer direct care to patients, and I like sleeping at night and things like that.
That's the problem.
So and most of us actually you know. Do. Well, most of us have values and ethics, and like really
sure.
want to help people.
Absolutely.
To be honest, and I'm going to add 3 points, but the first one I'm going to get to is not to sound ugly, but the reason that pills are rampant. Is a free market principle, they're in demand.
Yep.
As a healthcare provider, I can tell you right now, we are taught and encouraged to tell patients to change their lifestyles, to exercise more, to eat right, things like that. Most folks don't want to hear it. They want a pill. They want a pill that's going to fix it. And that's the sad truth. And because Medicare mandates that many folks, hospitals, providers, based on what's called patient satisfaction scores, we have to keep the patients happy.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
So tell me about the pirate ship.
Well, this is it. Okay, I'll tell you how this happened. A couple of years ago, there was a newspaper article that came out of Iceland that said, or from New York Times or something, that Iceland had election. Now, keep in mind, Iceland was the only ones that jailed bankers. You know, when the financial crash came, they were like, screw this, man. We're out. We know who did this, and you're going to jail.
We need to do that in New Hampshire pretty soon. Yeah.
So what happened, the Iceland people, they, you know, just dissolve their government or something, and they pick the new representatives out of the phone book or through darts or drew straws or whatever, reconstituted and said, yep, that was that old government. Right, you go talk to them, man. We don't know you crap. So then they just kind of started over. Well, they had the pirate party in Europe was going around. You know, Rick Falconer, we had him on the show and so
Falcon
on.
Falcon Vinge.
Yeah, and he's started the pirate party about the same time the Levolution was kicking. Well, they kind of crossed over. Pañuelo Levolution kind of went to the Levolution went to over in Europe, and it was no Banksy had a a graphic that we co-opted, and they co-opted our and whatever. But then over here, of course, the pirate party was a thing. Well, then I saw this article, and it was like God, a few years ago, and it was pirate party don't mean nothing. They only won 16% of Parliament. How do you keep a pirate crew from killing you? I'm going, they're pirates that are armed. How the hell do you do that? How they did it is they elected their captain. It was a democratic system.
Makes sense.
They had workman's compensation. They had, if you lost an arm or a leg, you got so many. It was amazing. But when they were in battle, the captain was a freaking captain, man. You didn't question battle.
Well, that's because you need a captain for a ship. It just doesn't work with three captains all screaming orders at once. They knew that, and that's what they worked with.
And you had like the equal to the captain, I think it was like the quartermaster. It was represented the crew, and they do, whatever. So the point is Davy Barker from Bitcoin Not Bombs and I, work on this together. And I love writing the letters. You go to The Letters of Captain Mark is a book on Amazon. We have a book. And then you have the, and it's updated now, and the updated Letters of Captain Mark. It's called The Letters of Mark. Now, Reprisal is the female character. She writes from a female perspective, like on firearms, self-defense, on anti-war, on the justice system. And the recent one of all the letters is Scuttlebutt. And it's all about reputation. Pirates live by their reputation. Your reputation precedes you. And who gives the reputation? They have a reputation. So we don't call them white papers. They're called like black papers.
Please go on with your plans for the precariat here.
Go ahead and go to piratewithoutborders.com. The audience can do it too. I'm shocked that you haven't seen this. On the top left up there where it says precariat, take the tour.
Okay. I have seen this. Yep.
Okay, the tour, it's a ship. You guys, you haven't seen the video of the ship? Oh, my God. Okay, watch. There it is.
Yes, I have seen this video.
Okay, so I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to, man.
So this is a big pink balloon.
No, that's the airbag in it.
Right, the airbag.
Because it's an airship,
yeah.
But it's in the shape of a, you got to go see it. It has six ducted fans, thrusters, rocket engines. It's a spaceship. That is
lighter
than air.
Can it go into space?
Yeah.
How far into space?
Into far enough I can't see Earth space. I'm going to Mars, man. What the hell?
This thing can fly to Mars.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's 1,000 feet long. You see the upper deck on this, the atrium. There's a other one that shows the skylight that's in the big top floor. That's where Steven and Derek J are putting the space disco. So they're designing the disco there. Now Cameron is just a listener that when we were going on about this, he's like, all of a sudden it's like 5 months later, he sends me an email and this is done. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
With a submarine, you can basically go down beneath the waves and the weather doesn't bother you at all. And this is true with this are we calling it a blimp? An airship. This airship is you can go above the weather too.
Absolutely. The thing is that it has 6 ducted fans that give it lift. I mean, you want to have some buoyancy. Hopefully, we've done the math on it, and we get like, it's 1.2 million pounds. So that's kind of, it better be really light. Well, what happened? You know me, I grow carbon nanotubes for my, nickel iron batteries, and a tube furnaces, blah, 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 blah. I knew this carbon thing was coming. So here comes graphene. I remember in 91, Popular Science magazine, a Buckyball. I've been telling my kids as they grow up. 3 of my kids worked at Honeywell Aerospace. Two of them still do. One's got as a project manager, a big giant aerospace, blah, blah, blah. The point is I go, look, it's manufacturing of new materials, and it's here. You want to know? Go to piratesoutboarders.com. At the very top in the middle, it says build the ship. You go there and it's all the tech that's going to go, the front's glass, why would you, oh my god, it's transparent. That's the strongest part of the whole damn ship. The concept is 100 kilometers up is sovereign space. Now of course now we got Space Force. It's gonna, we rule the moon and Mars and wherever human DNA expands, and that's our jurisdiction, because so saith Uncle Sam or something. I mean, I don't care, because you're out there in the asteroid belt. I'm not waiting for the Alliance government to come out and protect my property rights.
It'll be there.
They'll say they are, whether they are or not, but exponentially as you get further and further, they don't matter. So the thing is that the jurisdiction of governments has been last week is up to 100 kilometers. So 62 miles, what that is. So our slogan is anarchy is only 62 miles away with an arrow pointing up. It's just a mindset.
How about freedom? How about freedom's just 62 miles away?
Well, no rulers.
All right.
The same thing.
I like to say I'm a non-archist.
But everybody likes freedom. Not everybody likes anarchy.
Because anarchy's just got a bad, reputation to the word, because people don't know what it means.
But I'm not worried about what everybody wants.
Just saying. You're not going to get me to say it. Freedom is just 62 miles away with a big arrow pointing upward.
You can show me freedom with a ruler, then you can convince me. But
I'm not claiming that. I wouldn't claim that.
No, I get it. I get it. Now, what
if the rulers claim 62 miles up? Then if you claim that freedom's above
that.
A little while back, they had a debate at Soho Forum. I don't know if you guys are aware of it or anything, but it was
heard the term.
Dave Smith, who's a podcaster,
and Nick Sarwark. I know what you're talking about.
What's that?
And Nick Sarwark, I know what you're talking about. I watched it.
Okay. I know there's a little bit of a rift between some of the newer people that have come in through, like, the Mises Caucus and groups like that.
Rift where? Who's got the rift?
I mean, just in terms of, some people think they're trying to be more or too much purist about, who should be able to run and who should be the candidates and things like that. I've never heard you guys discuss that, and I was just interested what your thoughts on all that was.
Well, I really like it when the libertarians run libertarian candidates. I liked Gary Johnson. I thought he was a pretty good choice as far as things went, but I think that there were more pure candidates that could have been had. It's a difficult line to walk to determine. Do I want to be, do we want somebody who's going to really give the libertarian message, or do we want somebody who has some name recognition?
I'm not a person that's been in the movement as long as a lot of you. I only really got involved throughout that election of 2016 was the perfect storm that got me flipped over to it. I'm thinking I'd much rather vote for somebody that I can completely hold my head up, and walk out of there proud that I voted for him. And I didn't feel that way with Johnson. you know, in the end, I didn't vote for him. I wrote in my own candidate, but, you know, I don't know. On one hand, I feel guilty that I didn't because I didn't give that support.
Whoa. Well, let's stop right there, Andrew. Let's talk about what voting really is. Voting is the participation in a social ritual that is mathematically insignificant. All right. So you made the vote that you made at the time because that was the best decision that you could make in that booth. And I do hereby absolve you of any consequences of your actions, right? Like your vote did not make a difference. If I'm presuming you voted in Georgia, vote didn't make a difference as to whether Hillary or Trump or Gary Johnson or anybody won.
I could see what was happening. It was principle versus this practicality kind of thing. And I'm going, I already know where this goes. I've been, you know, Bob Anderson, I've been through this. Have we been through this a bunch of times?
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have. We already know where this goes. And I tell you, you stick to principle and you're so much better off mental health-wise. It's just this cognitive dissonance thing is not going to make you mentally ill. Just be principled, man. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You'll be right in the long run and the short run.
But is this a thing that just recurs like
always?
Like a thing, it just comes back every few years. And
I tell you this. This is gonna. I'm gonna clear the mind fog. You ready? Here it goes. It's called Steiger's Law. In Arizona, it was a congressman. That guy was libertarian. Whatever. Doesn't matter. And it goes like this: whenever you create an organization or group around a movement or a cause, sooner or later, every stinking freaking time, the organization becomes more important than the reason you created it. Every time. So you got to like be careful how this organization is set. Now, the Libertarian Convention, they have this, you know, the pledge and the mission statement. We oppose the cult of the omnipotent state and defend the rights of the individual. It takes 7/8 in convention to change that. And these very guys that you're worried about want to get that out in the worst way.
Basically, you like airships, which are blimps or dirigibles or whatever it is that you want to call them. And you have at piratswithoutborders.com, you can see the stuff that Ernie's been working on.
Yeah, you go in the forums up there, and you'll start seeing some of the graphics and draw. See, it's not build it. Are you going to build it? Hell, Sergey Brin's already building it.
Yeah,
this is going to get built. They have, if you go in and do an image search and you put airship, it'll blow up all over the place. They're going to be, just like you have, Elon Musk is going to have Space Force, you know, freaking American flag, Air Force, Space Force logos on it. This is coming, you know.
You know, one thing I think is probably the most important question to have is when we're talking about this this world with where people are floating around, living in freedom in airships. Where does the excrement go? Where do people's the stuff that is inevitable in life? Where does that excrement go? Does it just get dropped down on us on here on Earth? Because that's what the politicians do. I mean, I wouldn't expect that from libertarians.
We got aquaponics, man.
Oh, I see. You just wrap it back in.
Yeah, whatever. You know, waste tanks. You know, it's like feed the fish. I mean, you know, this is one thing when we get into the forums, they go, well, what about this and what about that?
I'm curious.
I'm like, I don't know. Figure it out. There's technology that allows you to be not off the grid, above the grid. So I'm going, it doesn't matter what they think. They're down there yelling and screaming at each other.
A lot of people who go off the grid, as they say, find that the grid has not gone off of them.
We have it. There's a mag. We do mag. If you go to the top of freemansphoenix.com, you'll see at the very top these birds. We have the newspaper and the online magazine. In the magazine, there's one of the issues. We have like 40 different, you know, things up there, covers that we do. Those are covers to the magazine. One of them has our spaceship, the Freedom's Phoenix, the bird, is like a fighter. It's a spaceship, and Reprisal is the pilot of that one, whatever. Above the doorway, as you go in, if you zoom in, you can see it says Widget Sargini.
What does Widget Sargini mean?
What does Tan Stoffel mean?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Exactly. Widget Sajini means we're going to space and government's not invited.
I love that.
That doesn't mean they're not coming, but they're not invited. You know,
well, they don't seem to be able to get there. At this point, all they can do is shake their finger at the private companies that are going to space.
It is. All you got to do is piss them off enough and they're done. That's what all this chemical stuff is about. All they got to do is dial you down just a little bit.
This is something I haven't really understood because it seemed like the Democrats were doing their level best to somehow give Trump the opportunity to win this. I mean, it's not like he's not vulnerable right now. He is vulnerable.
I don't know. Tulsi Gabbard, I think, would be a very interesting. Now there's a race. But they don't want her. See, earlier you go like, you're a talk show host. I started like in 03. They go, you always say they.
Yeah, sure.
And they go, you conspiracist? What are you, an anarchist? And I'm like, compared to what? You know, what we got now, I vote none, man. I mean, that's my choice. But they go, you know, what do you mean they? And I'm going, you want to know who they are? Let me tell you who they are. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are. You can tell by they won't leave you alone. They're going to take your money and spend it and do and prevent you from, you have to do this and you can't do that. And it doesn't have anything to do with you bothering anybody. It's just because they want what they want because they want it. And they're going to take it from me to do it. And I'm going,
even if they don't take it from you, many of them want to give it to you, whether you want it or not. So I was talking to some online.
No, they promised to give it to me.
Right.
Well, they want to give it to you. It's just like taking benefits like welfare or something. All these people that I come across
healthcare.
That have like child protective services issues with the state, like coming in and taking their kid. I'm like, so you're on food stamps or you're on some kind of social assistance? Well, you know, I'm on mass health because I can't afford health care.
Peter Suderman, starting up here. We know this is true because the plan being Medicare for all, according to multiple independent estimates, as well as Bernie Sanders himself, costs somewhere in the range of $30 to $40 trillion over a decade. A new estimate of the type of plan that Warren and Sanders support puts the cost at just a hair over $34 trillion. So that's $30 or $40 trillion in a new government spending on top of the federal spending that would have otherwise occurred. And as Sanders, who likes to remind people that he wrote the damn bill, has said on many occasions, that means higher taxes. Sanders has not proposed tax revenues that are sufficient to cover the cost of his plan, but he has at least been clear that higher taxes are part of the deal. Warren, Elizabeth Warren, pushed at last night's debate to acknowledge that even Sanders admits decline. She wouldn't answer. Instead, despite attacks from rival candidates, Pete Buttigieg, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and former Vice President Joe Biden, she stuck firmly to a canned talking point about costs. We can pay for this, she said at one point. I've laid out the basic principles. Costs are going to go up for the wealthy. They're going to go up for big corporations. They will not go up for the middle class families. Peter Suderman, starting up here, we know this is true because the plan being Medicare for all, according to multiple independent estimates, as well as Bernie Sanders himself, costs somewhere in the range of $30 to $40 trillion over a decade. A new estimate of the type of plan that Warren and Sanders support puts the cost at just a hair over $34 trillion. So that's $30 or $40 trillion in a new government spending on top of the federal spending that would have otherwise occurred. And as Sanders, who likes to remind people that he wrote the damn bill, has said on many occasions, that means higher taxes. Sanders has not proposed tax revenues that are sufficient to cover the cost of his plan, but he has at least been clear that higher taxes are part of the deal. Warren, Elizabeth Warren, pushed at last night's debate to acknowledge that even Sanders admits decline. She wouldn't answer. Instead, despite attacks from rival candidates, Pete Buttigieg, Senator Amy Klobuchar, and former Vice President Joe Biden, she stuck firmly to a canned talking point about costs. We can pay for this, she said at one point. I've laid out the basic principles. Costs are going to go up for the wealthy. They're going to go up for big corporations. They will not go up for the middle class families.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.